Amen. Praise his name. I'm thankful it's a Thursday night, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. A chance to come out, be in the house of the Lord again. Let's all stand, if you will. Just bow our heads. We open the service. Lord, we're truly appreciative for all you've done. Your grace. Lord, for the desire in our hearts to come and to, Lord, to hear you speak to us that we may judge ourselves. And Father, you can reveal yourself to us that we may draw closer to you. Oh, Lord, it's so wonderful, Father, for we know and we understand, Lord, it's nothing we can earn or deserve but your grace in our lives, and we just truly want to say thank you. Bless us now, each and every one, Lord, as we've come. Lord, meet our individual needs. Bless the service, Lord, the songs we sing, preparing our hearts, that we may be open and pulling when your word comes forth. We ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. I'd like to start, if you would, in the big books with me, on page 107. In that city where the Lamb is the light.
There's a country far beyond the starry sky. Oh, there's a city where there never comes a night. If we're faithful, we shall go there by and by. Oh, it's the city where the Lamb is the light.
Amen.
Oh, and the city where the Lamb is the light. That the sun which shines upon us now so bright, oh, will be changed to clouds and rain until we go to that city where the Lamb is the light.
Amen.
Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the light. There the flowers bloom forever, and the day shall be one eternal day without a night, and our tears shall be forever wiped away. In that city where the Lamb is alive.
Amen. Sing it.
In that city where the Lamb is alive. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. I have a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is alive. Here we have our disappointments all the while, and our fondest hopes but meet with bitter blight. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. In that city where the Lamb is alive.
Hallelujah.
Oh, in that city where the Lamb is alive. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. I have a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is alive. Then let sunlight fade, let twilight bring its gloom. Not a shadow can my blissful soul affright, for I know that up in heaven there is room. In that city where the Lamb is alive.
Oh, hallelujah.
In that city where the Lamb is alive. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night.
Page 10 in our little loose leaves there, pamphlet. Amen. Isn't the love of Jesus wonderful? Praise his holy name. I love this little song. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful. Oh, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful it is. Amen. Sing it again. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful. Oh, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful it is to me. Oh, there will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine. Oh, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus so wonderful it is to me. Oh, boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest soul away, saving, keeping love it was that found me. That is why my heart can truly say, oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, oh, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Amen. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful. So saved. Wonderful the love of Jesus. Amen. Oh, he's precious. He's wonderful to us. Amen. You can be seated in our little capstone books. I'd like to, on page 100, so familiar. We've sung it so many times. Isn't joy unspeakable? Hallelujah. I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. Oh, while I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free.
Glory and the half has never yet been told.
living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near. I can see His smiling face. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Oh, I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its weight of glory rolls. Oh, it is like a great overflowing well, springing up within my soul. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Never been told. Amen. Just think, saints, we've heard a lot. Brother Branham's talked about it, how he's went over on the beyond the curtain of time. Paul spoke about it, what's waiting for us. And to think the half has not been told. What a day, glorious day it's going to be. Be able to go home, be with him throughout eternity. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Hamilton, would you like to come up, Luke? Ask the blessing, if you will.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His wonderful face.
Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. There to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. There's all past, oh, that last, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face. There to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hope at last, ever to rejoice.
Amen. How many have something on your heart you'd like to be remembered by? Amen. Brother Philip, would you take the request?
Heavenly Father, we just thank You tonight, Lord, that we can, my God, look forward to the future, Lord.
Yes.
You want to come, Lord, and take us home to be with You,
Lord.
And my God, You said You'd create a new heaven and a new earth, Lord. And we appreciate, Lord, all that You're doing for us, Lord. And how You're preparing our hearts and our minds and our soul, Lord. And back off for that great day, Lord. And we pray, Father, tonight for the needs of the people tonight. Every hand will be raised at You know the desire, Lord, the intent of the heart, Lord. We
yes.
pray, Father, that You'd grant that tonight, Lord, that we might bring glory, Lord, unto Your name. We pray tonight, Lord, that You just, Lord, remember those, Lord, my God, especially, Lord, that have spiritual needs, dear God.
Yes.
This hour, Lord, that You just come down and minister, Lord. Oh, God, that we might have a closer walk with You, Lord. And we pray tonight, Lord, for those that may be sick and afflicted, that You set forth Your hand and touch them, Lord. We pray tonight for Thy word, and as it comes forth, Lord, You anoint the messenger, Lord. Anoint their lips and pray, Lord.
Yes.
My God, anoint Your mind, Lord, to be able to think, Lord, and to bring forth that, Lord, which You've laid upon their hearts. We pray that You'd open our hearts and our minds to receive that
yes.
word, Lord. And my God, may we not only receive it into our minds, Lord, but my God, may we receive it into our hearts that it would bring forth fruit, Lord, unto righteousness and holiness. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. Praise his name. Would you have a song tonight? Amen. Would anyone have a song on your heart? Something burning. Amen. Praise his name. All right. Alrighty. Let's all stand then, if you will. Let's sing the chorus, Lord, I Believe. Do you believe him tonight? Amen.
Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe.
Precious Lord, we are greatly thankful to be gathered here again today. Thank you for this opportunity you've given us. And Lord, we're just so appreciative of your word in this hour. Lord, that is a light unto our feet. And Lord, it lights our paths as we walk. And Lord, we just pray that you tonight you'll have your way. Take these few words that you've laid upon my heart. And Lord, just let my lips be a mouthpiece that you can use. Lord, that it'll be of help to someone along the way. Lord, that through it all you would receive the glory and the honor that's due you. And Lord, that we would be more like you in all that we do and say. And we ask it all to your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things. Amen. My, don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Just happy to be here. Amen. So thankful for what God can do in our lives. Amen. While you're standing, let's just read a very familiar scripture there in Amos, the third chapter. Bear with me. It's one of those messages where the Lord lays things on your heart and these quotes jump out and grab you, and yes. And then you don't know really what to do with it. But you know, I just thank the Lord for his mercy and his grace. But amen. I'm thankful to see the age that we're living, yes. See the time we're in, amen. And see that God is still in control. Amen. Yes. You know, amen. When you look around and you see this world's just gone berserk, it has lost all its all meaning, but it's just amazing. Let's just read here in Amos, the third chapter, in that seventh verse. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated. And my, we're living in such an age. Like as I said, it's just a constant turmoil in the land. And the media is feeding upon the things that are happening, and they just keep feeding it, and they feed it, and they're causing strife. Satan's using it as a tool to cause turmoil in the land. And you just see it coming to a magnitude all around us. But as we see that magnitude taking place, and that is really drawing everyone's attention, there's something going on over in the heart of that little bride. And that's where we're focused tonight. That's our goal, is to make sure that I'm one of them. That's why we gather here every time. And as I was just sitting at home before service, or this evening actually, or today, and this this message, or this, let's turn over here to 1 Thessalonians, in the 5th chapter. And this is a scripture that actually came upon my heart, and I just got to thinking about it, and that's kind of what led me to some of these things, and maybe get us pointed in the way the Lord was kind of taking my mind. But here is 1 Thessalonians in the 5th verse. Let's just begin there at the first verse and read this down to about the 11th. But of the times and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night are they that are drunken in the night, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Amen. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as also ye do. Amen. And that verse jumped out at me there, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness. And do we ever really truly stop and think about that? That I'm not in darkness. Amen. Even though we live in an age where there is so many doctrines within a message that we claim to believe and follow, and God has sent a prophet in this day, and we can all read Amos 3:7 and say, surely the scripture says, surely God will do nothing, yet he reveals it to his servants, the prophet. And that prophet came. We realize God sent that prophet in the form of William Marion Branham in this last day, and he brought a message to that bride. Amen. Now, that's been 50-some years ago almost that took place. Yes. And since that time, look how many people has been on the scene saying, I've got the word from the Lord today. How many people has rose up and said, this is what he meant. But a prophet, when he was here, he firmly declared God was his own interpreter. Amen. And what he said, he would vindicate and back up. Yes, and I truly believe that God has called a people aside for that purpose. Amen. That they would get them. You may wonder why you walk through circumstances in life. Why this situation happened to me? Why did I go through that? Why did I spend so many years? You know, the children of Israel probably wondered why they spent 400 years in bondage when God had told them he would bring them out with a mighty hand. But they might have wondered, why did I have to stay down there that long? But God had a purpose and a plan for everything. And as you look back at your life, God has had a way of shaping and molding us to be the soldiers that he needed in this hour, at this time, to be a people that would stand firm upon his word, no matter who didn't like them, who wouldn't back them up, who thought they were wrong. But they had reached a point in their life where they were standing with God alone. And on one thing that God said, let's turn to John 14th chapter, if you would. I believe it's 14. Let me make sure. Yes. Let's just read that 17th verse and drop on down. John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. And you often wonder, he said he wouldn't leave us comfortless.
That's right.
But there's so many people that's in this message that has just shook up all the pieces over this election. And who's going to be president? And what's going to happen to this country? And oh my goodness, they're shooting on the streets in Logan. They might be happening tomorrow. It's just all over the world. It's a turmoil. Satan has got a total chaos. Why? To take our minds totally from what God's trying to do and focus us in on this world. We know it's going to happen. We see it happening. But if Satan can instill fear in you, if he can get you to doubt God's word,
amen,
he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. We might see bad times. We don't know how bad it's going to get before we leave here. We don't know. There may come the day when you start to see more and more of of how so many people are against the Muslim religion. That's one step. Anything contrary to the popular American belief that we're all God's children and it don't matter if you're this and if you're that, we're all going to heaven. That has become the theme. It don't matter. Just come on. We're all one. We're the same. Till it doesn't matter how you dress, how you live, what you are. That's the religion of America. But God's religion is so far beyond that. And that's what the prophet brought to us, is don't get caught up in this life and traditions. And when he was here, he screamed out against the things he's seen and the things he was seeing at that time. But as being a prophet, I know he could see afar off. He knew what was going to be here in this day. But nevertheless, he could only say what God would let him say.
Amen.
And now, because God had to prove that that scripture, as it goes on here, yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but you'll see me, because I live, ye shall live. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you.
Amen.
And as he says in the 26th verse, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things.
Amen.
And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And that is one of the problems with the people today. When Brother Branham was here, it was easy. Brother Branham, what about this? Brother Branham, I need a healing. Can you pray for me, Brother Branham? They had someone to lean on, just as the children of Israel had Moses standing there as a pillar. They had a person they could get a hold of. When the prophet left, other men began to raise up and stand in that position. And stand there. Well, I've got the word. I've been called to this. I'm that person. And then say something contrary to what God said through that prophet.
Amen.
But God said he would send a comforter that would teach us all things. Not a man to teach us all things.
Amen.
Not a man that we would lean upon. Well, this is what he said. That's why we're going to do. No, but he revealed to us that it wasn't just a man, William Marion Branham. He was only a mouth.
Amen.
He was just a mouth that stood there and was an open vessel, that he had a gift of getting himself out of the way, that God could use his mouth to speak to a bride today. And that word came pure and unadulterated. And God watched over it with a pillar of fire, himself standing on the platform to make sure it was vindicated to us, that it was God speaking to us. Not only that, but search the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and there was Jesus Christ in its fullness. But so many today, people have rose on the scene. This is fanatic. That's not with the scripture. You can't do that. You can never live like Jesus Christ. His life's never going to be 100% in you. You're always going to make mistakes. You're going to be this. They take the little things that was said they like to grab and hold on to that makes excuses for the flesh. But God said he would have a people he would teach all things to and bring all things to their remembrance. That he would have a bride that would be without spot and without wrinkle in this last day. And she would be there right before the coming of the Lord. And as Brother Branham said, when he drew that seventh church age, it was dark. He said when the Holy Spirit drew it, it was black. And he put a little light in there because he knew that bride was going to be there. And by God's grace, it is getting that black. You see it throughout the land. You see it everywhere. But by God's grace, I know I've been predestinated. And I am one that's been called to be what he would have me be. You say, Brother Timothy, you make mistakes? Absolutely. But by God's grace, they'll be overcome. Every day is a new day, a climbing day, a pressing, climbing higher in him. Every day that I've been born and I've walked with the Lord, every day is something different. There's a new something in your life every day that God can use. He shows you things. You see different things. It's never ending. And I'm not that old. But I thank God that I serve a living God.
Amen.
And that I can see that in this day he has spoke to us.
Amen.
And you know, that's been become the biggest problem of a lot of people in the message when Brother Branham was gone. They heard this minister say this. This minister would say this over here. This minister believes it like that. And they heard all of this going on until they got frustrated.
Yes.
And then it's, I want to talk to somebody that was with him. I want to ask somebody that lived with him. And that become a popular thing. Let me talk to his daughter. Let me talk to his son. Let me talk to brother so-and-so that walked with him. Let me see what he say about this. How'd he feel about that? Till it became everyone got to talking. How many times have you told somebody something today and then heard it 3 years later and it wasn't even close to what was said?
Mm-hmm.
You can't base your salvation on what someone else says.
But you can base your salvation on what God said in the written word that he left. He said he would store up the food and we would have spiritual food in due season on printed page. God made a way, and that is the vindicated message of this hour right here. And God sent the fivefold ministry, pastors, teachers, evangelists, all of it to the working and the edifying of the body. But they will say nothing else but what that Holy Spirit said through that prophet. Why? Because it's the same Spirit that was in him that wrote the word. The same Spirit that was speaking the word to us wrote the word that went onto those printed pages. And that same Spirit is in house in the bride today. And God give gifts to bring that word back to the bride. But then he also went into the laity that sat there to hear that word, to be the teacher and the guide that would bring that word to them. Amen. And back it up 100% and make it truth.
Amen.
But oh my, people have lost that today. They've got to, well, my pastor says, as it was back then, it used to be, I'm Catholic, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, my creed says this, our doctrine book says this, it has to be this way. And today it's got the same way. Well, we believe we can go here because that's all right. Our pastor says he sees where it's okay. And this one says it's okay if I cut my hair because that's just the way he sees it over here. Another one picks something else out. And you can't find it nowhere in the Word. But this was God speaking to his people. And I'd like to read here. Just kind of follow with me. These might seem a little jostled, but I just want to catch something he's saying here to point out. This is in the message Investments. Preached November 1663, paragraph 115. And he's using Daniel as a type here. He says, Daniel was one that, the one that we was talking to, he was a policyholder. He was a man filled with God's Spirit. Because the word was in Daniel, and Daniel was a prophet. And the Bible said in Hebrews, the first chapter, in times of old, God in divers manner, many places spoke to the fathers by the prophets. And now the prophet is a compound word, which means a revealer of the scripture and a foreteller of things that is to come. And to show that God doesn't change his message, every age God has always used not an organization, nor a group, or a system, but a man. And the unchangeable God, he made one way in the Garden of Eden that man should be saved, and that was by the blood. And we can have educational systems and denominational system, but God turns it down, and it still remains the blood. That's the only way, the way God set it in order.
Amen.
And he says, but God chooses individuals, and two men will never see the thing alike, so God can only get one person in his hand, even through there, like Moses, through Daniel, through the different prophets, and listen. And Brother Branham plainly showed us what he was talking about, how God had a major prophet on the scene at the time, of each age. And he says, and Daniel through different prophets, and listen, you say, well, what about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit doesn't change it.
Amen.
Look, the word of the Lord comes to the prophet. And I love this type. John was the prophet of the hour, and he was standing in the water declaring that the Messiah was already among them somewhere. He would know it by a sign. And when the Messiah, being the word, he came into the water to the prophet, the word coming to the prophet. He had to come there first to make the scriptures line up 100%. And Jesus said in these days, with a personal pronoun, he, the Holy Ghost, when he was come upon you, come to you, he will show you these things I've taught you and will show you things to come. It remains the same thing. The Holy Spirit is the prophet among us today. The Holy Spirit is the prophet. So we don't have maybe a physical prophet here today. Which one could arise? But at this time, we don't know of one that has that prophetic gift as Brother Branham had it. But if he would arise, he can say nothing more than what's already been said on those pages. And his life has to meet what's on those pages and back it up. But the Holy Spirit is our teacher today, or that revealer of that word to us. Not some man running around trying to go get it from somebody over here. Well, you know, I heard Pastor so-and-so say it like this, but I just don't know about that. Go to the Word. The Holy Spirit is the divine giver of revelation. And if something don't sound right, that's our answer. God give us a wonderful pastor. And I thank God for the gifts he's given to the church. And we must have those offices, and we must, as that's God's provided way, we're sheep. And we must have shepherds. But you must never put yourself into a place where you're leaning fully upon the shepherd for everything you need. But you've got to go to the Word in prayer. And when God reveals something to you, you watch it walk back through the scriptures. But you know, oftentimes, and we've seen it in the past, where somebody would ask a minister, what about this? And maybe that minister could explain it wonderfully and break it right down. And you could sit there and you might say, I can see that. But it didn't grab a hold down on the inside to make your body come subject to the Word. Because it takes the Holy Spirit down on the inside to make it come to life. But let's turn here to the Anointed Ones at the End Time. This is on July 25th, 65, page 22. And he's speaking again here, kind of back up what I said there. He said, every true prophet that ever raised in the world cursed those denominational organizations of the church. And as our brother was speaking here a while back, as how that spirit on a minister will cry out against the sin that's in and the iniquity that's in the congregations. And you know, I think of when even Brother Smith was coming here and how he come out of Pentecost and into the message, but how they called him that he's church sin-killing Smith because he wouldn't tolerate the things he didn't believe that he knew was contrary to the Word that had been revealed to him. And he didn't care whose feelings it hurt. He preached it just that way. And you know, he even told us how many of his congregation walked out of his church when he saw this message. They left him. But did that waver him? Did that change him? No. Why? Because God had spoken to his heart. He wasn't leaning on some other pastor's association. He was leaning to what God had revealed to him to follow at that time for him. And that's the same way with us. We all gather here and we all came here. Maybe we all left the same church and we look like a big happy family, but we can't lean on each other's understanding. As the scripture says, don't even lean to your own understanding. But we must look back to the Word and see what God has allotted to us and make sure we understand and are following exactly what that prophet brought. And as our pastor brings it back, as God lays it on his heart to bring it back, we should be sitting here so open, so hungry. Lord, reveal it to me. And the Word's against popular belief. It's against the way we're raised. It's against the way we're taught in as a human race. It's against what we feel as humans. But God said he would achieve a church, a prisonership, a preeminence, a people so surrendered to him that the human being side of it would be gone. Amen. And it would be him in control. Yeah. Yes, we'll still be human flesh till the day he takes us off of this earth, but he will be in control on our hearts, on the seat, our conscience, our memory, everything in his power. Amen. Oh my, I pray that we see that more and more. Amen. It's becoming to the place to where he will interpret the Word. I can go out and tell everybody I'm a Christian, but he will interpret what a Christian is in this age. Amen. He's going to prove what he said it would be. I can say I'm bride, but his Word's going to prove out through our lives. Amen. If we're bride. Not what I'm telling people. But it'll be his vindication proving out what he said his bride would be. And he's going to do it through his Holy Spirit that he placed down on the inside. But oh, it'll be a reality. Let's see here. Yeah, I forgot where I was. This is page 22. Every prophet, true prophet that ever raised in the world, cursed those denomination, organizations of the church. How could it change? By the unchanging God. The Holy Spirit is the prophet of this hour. He is vindicating his Word, proving it. The Holy Spirit was the prophet of Moses' hour. Well, I thought Moses was the prophet of the hour. He was the man in flesh that had the gift of a prophet. But it was the Holy Spirit that spoke out through him and turned that, spread that, separated that Red Sea. It was the Holy Spirit in him that called those flies into existence and all the things that happened. It wasn't Moses in himself. That's why in humility he knew who was behind him. That's why he wasn't puffed up. But oh my. It was the Holy Spirit was with the prophet Micah's hour. The Holy Spirit which wrote the Word comes and confirms the Word. Amen. Oh my. And you truly see when the Holy Spirit is in it, you watch it 100%. Amen. And how many times we've had the example and seen it where the pastor could preach and preach and preach and tell us things, but his own life couldn't back it up. And that's what I see so much today. As in Matthew 7:23, as he said, many will come to me in that day. And sometimes we focus that so much on the ministry. But it comes down to each one of us knowing to do good and doing it not. One thing for who he offends in one part of the law is guilty of all. But oh my, do we see it that great? Are we bringing it down on our step? Oh, it's just a little thing. It's okay. But as the Holy Spirit has been coming and expressing, I believe it's the Holy Spirit trying to show us this time is at hand.
Amen.
And that's why I don't need to get up here and tell you and try to explain to you all these signs. The Holy Spirit's done and brought the word. And he's done it and told us what it would be at this time.
Amen.
But oh my, we must exhort one another. Be in prayer. Continually looking, letting the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. And be certain that be sober. And don't sleep as others do and just, I believe the message. I'm good. Waiting on a rapture. But no, God said he was coming for a woman that was looking and loving, longing for his appearing.
Amen.
He would have the preeminence of that person. They would be a prisoner to him. And a love slave. And this word would be projected out through them. You know, and Mary is a wonderful type of how when the Holy Spirit come to her, the scripture spoke and said, a virgin shall conceive. God's word went forth. And all those years later, the angel appears in the room and walks up to Mary and says, behold, you're highly favored. And she said, let it be to me, according to the handmaid. Let me be the handmaid, how the Lord. And how that is with the predestinated seed of God.
Amen.
He predestinated a people to be here. And when that word comes forth, it's amen. Lord, I see I got to be more like you. Lord, I see this has got to be trimmed off. Amen to it. Lord, take it from me. No matter the cost, whatever I have to give up, Lord, it's yours. Here it is. And that's the way that little bride is today. She was prepared beforehand to be here, to be that love slave and that prisoner for him. This is in the message, Lean Not Unto Thine Own Understanding, preached January 20th, 65. Going to read here, start about page 68. Notice they had their own thoughts of what God should be. They had their own ideas of what a Messiah should be. But the word said what the Messiah should be. And now they see by their own understanding of what he would be, no doubt, but what the high priest said, all my priests under me, now when the Messiah comes, we've built a great temple here. We've done all of this. And the Bible said he'll quickly come to this, his temple. And all these things. And when he does, the Messiah will come right up here and recognize himself with us and say, I'm the Messiah. I have arrived. I am the Messiah that you've been looking for. Well, when he did come, he came in such a different way from what they thought it was. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. And what if some hypocrite would have walked up there and said, I am the Messiah. I am Dr. So-and-so. They would have accepted it. And I believe they would have. That's what they were wanting. That's what they were looking for. They wanted someone to join their ranks that saw things the way they did. Wanted to do things the way they done it. Follow that law to the letter. And use it to their own advantage, most of them were at the time. But that's not the way God came. That's not what he had in plan. But he says, but when you come to a man that was born with a darkened birth behind him, no education of any school he ever went to learn, no seminar, did he have no fellowship card, but he was the interpretation of God's word made manifest. The works that I do tell you who I am. And if I do not the works that was promised I do, then believe me not. And could we not apply that for this day? When the Holy Ghost comes and they want to apply it to some other age. When he comes in the action and the demonstration of the power of eternal life and the people want to call it a wild fanaticism. Why? They're leaning to their own understanding and not the word of the Lord. And you know that's right. The identification that God, own interpretation, is the manifestation of the promise. Maybe I'll say it, make it a little plainer. When God speaks the word, he doesn't need any man or any woman or no one else to say what that means. He said, you say, God meant this. God means just what he says he means. Now, how does he interpret his own word? By fulfilling it. The Bible said, so a virgin shall conceive, and she did. That don't need any interpretation. God said, let there be light, and there was. That don't need any interpretation. God said also in these last days he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and he done it. That don't need any interpretation. That's only an exception. Somebody to accept what God has done. It doesn't need interpretation. God interprets his own word, and God promised the things that we see day by day that he would do it in this last day. But people today, like it was then, they lean upon their own understanding. My pastor says that's fanaticism. But the Bible said it would happen. Whose understanding you going to lean upon?
Amen.
And that's why we must be in tune with the Holy Spirit. That when the word comes, because the Holy Spirit is a discerner in thought, tense of the heart. Now our brother, our pastor, as he preaches, maybe he doesn't have a gift of discernment. Maybe he doesn't have a gift of visions, but the Holy Spirit is here and does. And God made him a pastor. And in a true fivefold ministry, God gave them that gift to be able to speak to their heart in ways that God does. And he lays things on their heart, and it comes out at the right time. And they may think, oh, somebody's been to that pastor and talked to him. But God is a discerner in the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And don't ever sit there and think, well, so-and-so's been out talking again. But make sure that you heed the call of the Holy Spirit. And if it comes down in your life and you can truly see, I was wrong, with grace and humility, say, thank you, Lord, for showing me where I was. But you must pay attention to the moving of the Holy Spirit and never speak out against it. And never speak out thinking that it was this or it was that, when it could have been God himself. Totally. God's not above giving a person a vision. God's not beyond speaking to someone's heart. Now you'd have to be a prophet to be spoke to lip to ear. But God has ways, dreams, different ways to reveal what's wrong in our lives and in our hearts. And that's why he gave us a pastor. That's why he made shepherds over the flock, to help us as individuals along life's way. But we must see where that leadership's coming from. You've got to follow it all the way back into that scripture and see it come down from God in spirit form. He followed all the way through those prophets. And then in the New Testament, you can see where he brought it right on down to the ministry and pushed it out to us to see, give us an understanding of that precious word. And then to come himself and house himself inside of us and teach us, and to bring it back to our remembrance when we don't have someone around to remind us. But God is there to bring it back to our remembrance. My, we are so appreciative, so thankful what God can do. This is in the message, Watchman, What of the Night? Preached in 58 on November 30th, page 9, paragraph 63. He says, then we could go on an hour. Let's see. Let me back up. Paragraph 62. Now we notice again that in this day, just before the coming of the Lord, these same beings are to return again. And he was speaking about where the angels came to Abraham. And he says, I wonder, as we look around and see the nature of them, watch what they're doing, I wonder if a lot of these mistress sites is exactly what Jesus said would take place. There will be signs in heaven above, and in the earth there will be distress between nations perplexed of time, earthquakes in diverse places, and men dying with heart failure. Not women, men. Women don't die very often with heart trouble. It's men. It fulfills what Jesus said would be. It's exactly what he said would be. And then as we go on hour after hour, on all the prophets and how they prophesied of this day, would it not make one cry out, Watchman, what of the night? And the Pentagon don't have the answer. The United States don't have the answer. Germany, Russia, none of them have the answer. Science doesn't have an answer. Who has the answer? The watchman that's on the wall has the answer. Watchman, what of the night? And the Holy Spirit is that watchman who is making ready the people and giving warnings from God. He has been set as a watchman. And we see the sick being healed, blinded eyes coming open, deaf ears unstopped, cripples walking, the lame leaping like a hart, fulfilling, what is it? It's the coming of the Lord, pressing on. Amen. All these things, these warnings, and the people continually press right on through it to their beer parties until there's times of folly and their frolic, and they dance and they eat and they drink and they marry and they're given in marriage just as God said it would be. No way of stopping them. And then if you notice in this great church age, according to Revelation 3, at the age was the one who was given the morning star just before the coming. And watch how scriptural Isaiah was when he said, Watchman, what of the night? He said, the morning cometh and the night also. What? The morning comes, but the night comes before the morning. What was it? Anyone knows that just before the break of day, just as the hours of the approaching of day, it turns darker than it ever was. Oh, my friends, listen to thus saith the Lord. If you consider me to be his servant, it's just before the break of day. That's why this horrible gloom is over the earth. It's just before the coming of the Lord Jesus. There's no more hope left, nothing but his coming. Nations are against nations, and they have fooled through God's laboratory till they got the power to blow one another into atomic ashes. And they are wicked, and they are unreligious, and they're unchristlike. And the only motive they have and object is to destroy, and they are inspired by the destroying angel. They were inspired by the destroying angel that was sent from heaven to inspire these men. Let me say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit is sent as a watchman on the tower. And as the people cry, what of the night? Are you weary of this life? Are you weary of sin? Are you weary of funeral possessing sickness, ungodliness on every hand? Has the night been long and weary? What of the night, watchman? He said, the morning cometh. See, the comfort. and the night also is coming. What is the night? Look how it is in perfect harmony with the scripture Isaiah was. In the regular course of nature, always, that the approaching of the sun conceals the darkness together and congeals the darkness together and makes it dark. It's darker before day than any other time in the night. Why? It's that approaching light that's making it dark. And it's the approaching of the Lord Jesus now that's bringing the gloom upon the earth. And did not he say, when these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And my, how we ought to see that the Holy Spirit, as you can see, all through the land that's taking place and the destruction, and it's, as I said, it just seems like every day it's worse and it's worse and it's worse rapidly now. Things, just crazy things happening throughout the land. But look on this side and pay attention that the Holy Spirit is shaping us, molding us. Get out of this, get into that, straighten up, pay attention to the word, give me your all. I want all of you. It's that time. He's coming, saints, and it could be any day. We don't know, but the day will come. But we've been well taught, thanks be to God, that he sent us a messenger, and he sent us the word, and he sent us the fivefold ministry to keep us, that we would not be ignorant of the time and the seasons. We're not ignorant that that day will overtake us as a thief in the night. But don't let us sleep, but let us be sober and watchful, mindful of what we're doing and where we're heading every step of every day, that God would receive the glory and that we would soon leave this old earth. Amen. You sisters may come to the instruments if you would. I've held you out long enough. Amen. But it's God's grace to us, saints, that we can see these things. It's God's grace that our toes get stepped on. There's people that's all over this land. They're following this message. Don't you touch how I'm living. Don't you say a thing about what I'm doing. That's none of your business. I'll do what I want. And they can. That's right. It is their business to do so. But God sent someone here to tell them that they were wrong.
Amen.
Someone, he sent a messenger to say, that's not Christ-like. That's not what I'm looking for. But here, let's turn over here to 1 Peter in the first chapter, if you would. Read this in closing. Amen. Held you a little longer than I typically do tonight, but let's just read this here. Here in 1 Peter, and begin there about the third verse of the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're going to have them heavy trials. We're going to have many tests. And it may get a lot hotter and a lot rougher yet. Friends, the more we stand for the truth and the more we hold a standard, the less we're going to be liked, as a, not as a church building, but as an individual. If you take a stand for God,
amen.
You watch your own personal friends, family, they're not as friendly as they used to be.
Right.
But you've got to draw the line. Who am I going to serve in this day? Am I serving God or am I living for this present time? As the sisters sing that little song often. What am I living for today? Of which salvation and the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And you see those prophets, it was revealed to them, they spoke it and it came to pass.
Amen.
Just as everything that our prophet in this day spoke,
amen,
that God spoke through his lips, it is going to come to pass. Just as California is going to slide into the sea.
Amen.
You know, they made a movie concerning that, but I guess at the end they've got it to where they think it's they're going to rebuild it. It's going to be a bad earthquake, and that vault's going to be bad, but they're going to rebuild it when it's done. Saints, that's not what God's word said. It said it would slide into the sea, and it will. That's where it's going to wind up. Amen. Searching for what? What manner of time? The glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And how true that is our conversations truly holy as God views holiness? Or do we let some of the world creep into our conversations in a manner that, oh, it's okay, everybody understands what I'm saying. But be holy conversations as becometh Christians, and what God would be pleasant in hearing. Does that truly play into our conversations? And he says, if ye call on the Father who without respect of persons, judging according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. That will abide forever. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. Oh, saints, may we truly let God take us in his hands.
Amen.
There's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot going on in so-called message churches. All them trying to rebuild revival fires. And oh, let's do this and let's do that. And they're going to be doing that when Jesus comes. And then there'll be some of them that's going to say, I thought there was going to be a rapture. They knew about it, but they failed to follow the heeding and the calling of the Spirit to get ready and to make themselves ready. But let us not be in that number, but let us be sober, and let us not sleep, but watch for the coming of the Lord. Let's you all stand if you would. I just thank God for his mercy and his grace, saints. God has definitely in this age been so gracious to us. And oh my, don't ever fail to understand that when God teaches us anything, it will, if it's been taught of God down on the inside, it will bring this body subject. And oh my, this body will turn heavenly. And everything about us will be just what he'd want us to be. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus as our brother comes. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest.
I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the
thinking on the same thing this afternoon, thinking about of all the turmoil that's going on now throughout the land, and it seems like it's escalating just
very quickly now. Mm-hmm. And it's just, everything's just rapidly taken, folding together. Amen. For a complete corruption. Amen. And I'm just so thankful for what God has put me in with Him. Amen. He's anchored my soul.
Amen.
In a haven of rest. Because people are so confused, so nervous, and so worried, you know, and it's like Brother Timothy has mentioned about the election and so forth, just everybody talking about it. You know, it's all taken care of. Regardless who gets it,
amen.
It's all going to be to the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. You get a little bride ready. Amen. You say, well, this person will do this and this person will do that. Well, it might be exactly what's needed. Bring the mark of the beast fully in and everything happen exactly like it has to happen. So, we're anchored. And He promised that He'd never leave us nor forsake us. So that's where my anchor holds. Amen. By His grace. You know, this little song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Oh, purchased of God. Born of His Spirit. Washed in His blood.
Amen.
God's so good to us.
Amen.
So wonderful. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Precious Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, for these words of encouragement, strength, and understanding. Lord, it's so precious to think and to see what is taking place in the hour. And Father, more than ever, as it being talked about now, as our brother mentioned about California going in, it's being talked about much, and it's getting to the point, Lord, that people are moving away from California. Of course, not realizing and knowing what the prophet said. They're going on all these ideas of what man has put together and what they think is going to happen. And they may move just across the state line. But Lord, they don't know that You sent a prophet that said water would back up clear to Kentucky. And Lord Jesus, what a mess it's going to be. What a turmoil it's going to be. But Father, we're so thankful that You've put a rest in our hearts.
Amen.
And Father, an assurance. And we're not in darkness of the great catching away. Father, You're getting us ready. And it may seem like the messages, Lord, are really chipping hard at us and getting rid of anything out of our lives that's not exactly like You. But Lord, that's where You said we'd be when You come.
Amen.
Lord, we'd be conformed to the exact image, the image of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, You, Lord. And Father, that's what the Word is to do, is to chip away and wash away everything that's not exactly like You. That, Lord, we would be a people that's in Your complete likeness. That, Lord, a people would be surrendered in their minds upon You. Lord, not being distracted with the cares of life. But everything being just You, Lord, living through a tabernacle of flesh. So we just want You to keep working on us, Lord. Open our hearts to the Word of God. Give us revelation of it, Lord, that it'll be not just words, but it'll be a living reality. Oh, God, that's what that Comforter, the Holy Ghost, would do.
Amen.
It'd teach us all things, as our brother mentioned. And Lord, it'll take that, and only that will bring us to this place You want us to be in. We ask now that You bless us continually, Lord, and bring us back the next appointed time if You should tarry. And may You get the glory and honor. May we be appreciative of the words we've heard this evening.
Yes.
And Lord, hold it dear to our hearts.
Amen.
We thank You now, and we talk to You through Your precious name.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus again. Amen. Go ahead, brother, start on that. Get the right tune, chord.
My soul in the haven of rest. I
safe evermore.
Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you.